Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Coffee Chat with Camille. I'm very excited about our guest. His name is Stephen Morgan. The title of our show today is How to Improv. I am going to read a brief synopsis about who Stephen Morgan is, and then he should be coming into the studio pretty soon. Okay, so he is a British comedian, improviser, storyteller, actor, writer, musician, as featured on Australia's ABC and the UK's BBC, living in the Netherlands, where he moved from Brisbane, Australia. Stephen has toured and performed in famous comedy clubs and festivals around the world alongside such acts as Stephen Carlin, Damien Power, and Greg Shapiro. Since moving to the Netherlands, he's become a cast member, performer, and teacher with Amsterdam's Easy Laughs, is a regular on the English language scene around mainland Europe, and hosts the popular comedy night LYFAO in Nijmegen. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Nijmegen is in the Netherlands. He is one half of the True to You, was a performer and teacher with Eindhoven's Chili Con Comedy, and is the host of Real Power Talk, a comedy interview series launched in conjunction with the media company All Things Loud. So that is just a little bit about who Stephen Morgan is. And then I love to do in their own words. Okay, it's a little part where they talk about themselves. So I'll say about Stephen. He says that he is a storyteller with a background in improv. So I know how to keep your attention and be in the moment. I've lived in multiple places across the world, and I have been in a number of different things at different stages of my life. I can communicate clearly and think of myself as easygoing and easy to get on with. Okay, so that is a little bit about Stephen, and we're going to go ahead and let him in the studio. Hello? Hi,
hello.
Stephen.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello, how are you? Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for being a guest today.
Thank you.
Let me see here. I actually had a question before I get into some of the other questions. I was curious about your background. What I mean by that is, how did you stumble across this wonderful genre of called comedy and acting and music and all that wonderful stuff?
Yeah.
So is it okay if you just give a brief synopsis about how that all came about?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think like with a lot of people, you kind of do the things you love and dedicate your time to the things that you love. And growing up, I always just, you know, I was the more kind of creative kid and wanted to do more artsy things, but was also terrified of, you know, being poor and in financial destitution, which is often associated with the arts. So what I ended up doing was like studying some sort of technical things back in the day. But but the thing is, you know, no matter how much you sort of go down the line of the sensible part of your brain, right, get a job in that area, there's always a part of you that just wants to do things that are fun and creative. And so I've always just sought out different things that I can, you know, find and try new things, and the joy in learning and just just putting yourself in uncomfortable situations and seeing what happens is something that I strangely find enjoyable.
Wonderful. And my next question is, how do you get started in stand-up comedy?
Well, that's an excellent question. Because technically, you just go to an open mic, you know? There are no rules. There's no things that that stop you. I think that's why it's a medium that's so appealing to so many people. It's the fact that it's supposedly the great leveler, is that anyone can go up and do it. And some people who've been doing it for years can seem like it's their first time, and some people whose first time can seem like they've been doing it for years. And personally, I do actually teach stand-up comedy. I was teaching last night. And I can acknowledge that for some people, like, you know, there's more reasons they want to do it than just because they want to be the most famous stand-up comedian in the world. And what they may have is, like, just some people, it's like that they want to, I don't know, have better presentation skills, or they just want to sort of see what it's like. And some people, it's like a bucket list thing, you know, like they just have this thing that they want to do it, like they want to run a marathon, they want to do some stand-up comedy or something like that. And I always find it fascinating teaching as well, because you do have so many people with so many different backgrounds who all have their own sort of story as to what they associate with it. But it really is something which the only thing that stops you is your own fear.
Yes. Thank you. And why did you get involved in improv?
Well, improv, I mean, to me, improv is like the area I'm much more natural and enjoy so much more. I teach that too, but mainly because I love just sort of, I'm very much in the moment. I'm not a planner. I'm not someone who thinks ahead. And, you know, I was doing tech stuff in school and things like that when I didn't even know what I was talking about. So I got good at sort of pretending like I knew what was going on, even when I had no idea what was going on. And that kind of really sets you up well for improv, I think, because that is the core premise of what it is. So, yeah, it's something as well which I think is a really sort of positive thing to take up, just no matter who you are and what your situation, because it really sort of, you know, I come from a sort of very cynical background, you know, and looking at the world in a very sort of negative first way. And I have to say that just getting involved with it and sort of recognizing that so many of the things I was learning were so, like, opposed to my natural way of being, and then actually applying them and sort of, you know, trying to sort of adopt them in real life, and you suddenly realize people react differently to you. You know, they don't always think that you're going to be the one bringing the bad news, or being the bit of the downer, or the one making sarcastic comments about everything. So, and it just means that everything is just like a lot easier, and people open up more. And yeah, I just wish I could go back and tell younger me, it's like, damn, you need to like stop doing this and lighten up and be more positive.
And then what advice can you give to someone thinking of living in another country?
Ah, that's a good one. That's one which there's so many different things I would say. But I think the big one is that when you're – there are so many points in your life where you kind of you build roots, right? Or build roots, you make roots. And so many times it just happens naturally because you follow like a very like conventional path, you know? You go to school, you get school friends, you get a job, you make friends at work, you just have people who live nearby, you know, you make friends with them. All of these things that happen. And when I first moved, I moved from the UK to Australia, which is not only thousands of kilometers away, it's also, you know, a totally different time zone. So the people you know are all asleep while you're awake, and vice versa. And the thing which I like look back and like wish I'd done more of, and because I did it through a little bit of it, is to really like put yourself out there, you know, because a lot of life you sort of incidentally make friends, make networks, find new people and things like this. And when it doesn't happen, you kind of start to think like, oh, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with other people? Why is it that I just got, you know, no one to hang out with, or just the same people all the time? And the thing is that like you do this sort of stuff when you're younger. But as you get older, you just, you know, you just have your circle of friends. But I think when you move to another country, you got to really throw yourself into that in a way that that just doesn't always feel natural. But you just, you know, it's the way that you really sort of get your roots into the new place as quickly as possible, and it starts to feel like home.
Oh, and then I just had a question. How has your comedy changed, especially with the moving in different countries? Has it changed at all, or is it the same?
Yeah, it has changed, actually. Yeah, quite a lot. Especially as now I live in a country where, you know, I perform in the second language in here in the Netherlands, where even although I would say, you know, English is so widely spoken here, it's as though you don't even notice a lot of the times, especially in the big cities. So to me, it's like when I was living in Australia, doing it there and that sort of atmosphere, I always had the outsider thing of being a British person in Australia and had to kind of adapt what I was doing based on the audiences I'm performing to, because whether you like it or not, they're making judgments about who you are and assumptions on what you're about and things like this, just in the way you look. And whereas if in your home country, you know, you kind of, you're used to whatever responses you get, that when you go somewhere new, you really do pick up on new and different things. And I suppose one of the things which I've always found interesting leaving the UK was that you kind of, like, there's a lot of British privilege. Like, people just assume I'm more intelligent than I am because I have a British accent, and you know, they listen to me more as well, and it's kind of it's one of those things that, like, I'd never really picked up on it before because I was just another British person in the UK. But then you start to go to other places, and it's like this every country has a different sort of association with other countries, and you know, essentially, it took me a while to work it out, but British people just get a lot of privilege when they go to places. People just think that we have, you know, we're thoughtful or intelligent or have something to say. Mm-hmm. And it's just a weird thing because you can't do anything about it, but it is what it is.
And then, let me see, there was another question. It'll come back to me. But why... Yeah. Oh, no, I asked you that one. Apologize. What's it like taking up a martial art in your 30s?
Yeah, that was interesting because, you know, it's funny that there's an association with that when you take up something new. But people always think, like, you only take something up because you at some level want to be the best at it, you know, want to reach the top of what it can be. You know, you may not, like, consciously admit it, but you really want to become really good at it. But that was, like, the first time I took something up when I was, like, 100% sure that not only was I not going to be the best, but I was not going to be very good, full stop. You know, I'm not a very flexible person. And like, as far as sort of exercise goes, you know, I can barely touch my toes and definitely not without bending my knees. And this is like a martial art where that really makes a huge difference. But that's part of why I did it. I was like, damn, you know what? Like, this isn't going to get any better. And this is something new to try. And if I can get past that whole kind of fact that when people try to tell me what to do, I clearly can't do it very well, then I'll probably have a good time. And that is basically what happened. I mean, yeah, it was funny because, you know, the instructor would have to do things like sort of whisper little adaptations of whatever and all. Doing so that it would be easy enough for me to do, but I'm fine with that, you know, because I was just like, even though you have to have a bit of humility, after a while you're just kind of like, oh damn, I'm feeling the benefits, and you start to notice that you're getting better, and that in itself is just a really satisfying thing.
Yes, indeed. And then, how do you go about writing an immersive theater play?
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's something which I've had limited experience with. I'm in a show Saturday, actually. It's been the first in a while. But it's a not everyone, I think, knows what immersive theater is, but it's where essentially the fourth wall is broken, and people who are around the setting for wherever it's taking place. So rather than there being a stage, you are walking through a place, which means that the actors and the work that goes into the scripting involves a lot more improvised preparation. What I found fascinating when I first got involved with this is like how that sort of thing happens. And there's so much work in building incredible depth to each and every character that is part of the production. So whereas in a play, you just have to learn your lines, you know, you have to get into the head of your character, but it's always within the context of the scenes that you're playing, and that's the everything. But the thing with immersive theater is that, like, someone from the audience can interact with you at any time and in any way and throw things at you that you will not be able to prepare for. So you really have to, like, build on that depth and be ready for something that's all canon, that all makes sense in that universe. And the work is a lot more, but it's a really exhilarating thing. And I also think that, like, when you're part of it, you just get so much closer to the people who you performed with, because you almost have to build up a parallel life together. That's something which takes time. And, yeah, you kind of you start to see the real people come through it as well. I recommend it a lot. I'm a big fan of immersive theater.
Wonderful. Thank you. And then I was actually curious about what your creative process is as a comedian.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. It depends on the sort of thing that's happening that you're trying to do. But say, for example, with stand-up, it's I do try to do as little writing beforehand as possible. So I do like to try and sort of make things, kind of solidify things on stage. The logic being that I feel like when personally I write in a sort of pen, paper, or typing on a keyboard way, it engages a part of my brain that is the opposite of creative. So it's great to have like a core premise or something that you're going to build something a bit. But I guess also with my improv background, I quickly learned that I'm far preferred trying something out on stage in an open mic and watching it go wrong, maybe watching it go better than I expected or whatever it is, and then expanding on things that way than just having that really dry situation where you just try to pull ideas out of nowhere. And so it works for me. I know it's like some other people are a lot more cerebral or they want to focus on one thing. But for me, I far prefer to just kind of, let it flow on stage.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. And how was it working with Stephen Carlin, Damien Power, and Greg Shapiro?
I mean, I've performed alongside and, often seen a lot of really good comedians at shows and things like this. And everyone's got their own thing, right? And everyone has their own sort of perspectives and what they do. And, you learn from seeing people who are doing it badly. You learn from people who are doing it well. But it's always a learning experience. And I do find that when there is someone who sticks in your head, maybe if there's like something they do, which is something that you recognize you can't do yourself, or maybe something that's really similar to something you can do, but they just do it better, or, they're just more competent. There's all sorts of things which you just being around people like that can be really inspirational. And especially when you kind of can ask them the questions afterwards as well. If you've seen something that's like you think is really interesting and you get a chance to kind of ask about it rather than just take it on face value, that's quite cool too.
Yes, and then to that point, who are your role models, or did you have any comedians that you said, hey, I want to be similar to that, or I want to take away from this particular comedian? Like, which ones did you do you find pretty amazing?
Yeah. I mean, growing up, I think that like a huge influence on me was Eddie Izzard, who I think at a time when I was growing up was like at his peak of popularity in the UK, and he was had a very distinct style, was popular enough that I guess, you know, kids at school would suddenly start to speak a little bit like him, which is always a sign that someone's got a cultural impact. And and it's funny though, because like at that time I would watch those again and again. It was just something that I really enjoyed seeing. I watched them again like a couple of weeks ago, or one of them for the first time in over a decade. And it was a really weird experience when you realize you can remember almost all of the jokes, all of the setup, most of the script almost, you know, but at the same time, it also sounds so unfamiliar. So that was a really like nice thing to see. But like since then, you know, there's just so many different comedians like Stuart P, Tony Law, Dan Rath in Australia, Sam Simmons in Australia. Here in the Netherlands, there's quite a few decent comedians as well, Laura Ricotta. This nowadays is more like I don't have that same sort of teenage thing where I sort of just think that one person is like untouchable. It's more of a case of there's certain things I think are really good in so many different performers, and it's just more like, you know, I'll enjoy bits and pieces here and there rather than just be like, this person is amazing and untouchable.
Yeah. And then I'm going to, yes, okay. So do the bands that you interview on Real Power Talk know that you're in character?
I run a show called Real Power Talk, and they're essentially doing interviews with bands in character, where they do not know that I am a character. So I have a number of aliases that I do for the interviews, and whilst I am in that alias, they don't know that it's anyone but the person I'm pretending to be, which is kind of a challenge because you have to convince a complete stranger that you are someone else entirely to completely buy it, because of course if they don't believe it, then it all just falls apart. They just think you're just being an idiot. So the fun comes in then to seeing how far you get to, like, really sort of show that you're not the person who you are. But simultaneously, it's like you want to try and make it a bit more ridiculous and try and introduce, like, some sort of real calamity that's happening around you. And that's a real part of the fun, is that, so as time goes on, it just all falls apart more and more. And thankfully, to date, not one artist has actually recognized that I'm not the person that I say I am. But we do tell them afterwards, though, just because you don't want to... we're not out to kind of make people look like fools. We're just out to kind of just have fun with the repetitive nature of the artist's PR sort of tours and loops that they have to do the same thing again and again.
That sounds really fun. And then can you tell me about your show, True to You?
So that's a kind of, that's an improvised show where it's kind of a cross between a self-help seminar and a cult induction, I guess you would say. It's very much it's based on, there's a lot of set pieces. I do it with a guy called Rogier Bach, who is kind of become semi-popular here in the Netherlands, as big of a TikTok star now. But it's a fun little format that we play. That it has like a lot of overlaps with the immersive theatre stuff that I was talking before, where it's like part of it is prepared, but like part of it is based on what you get, what engagement you get from the audience, and it's a lot of fun, and I definitely recommend checking it out if it ever comes near you.
Okay, I definitely will. And then I want to touch on, I just have not too many more minutes left here. So I did want to touch on you being a musician. I listened to quite a bit of your music. And I wanted to know, are you still playing or are you with the band? And like just a little bit about your music history.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, I've been in many bands over the years. And I love making music and I love writing about and everything to do with music. I always will. But right now it's more just like a hobby thing. I would love to start another band or something, but there are unfortunately only so many hours in the day. And right now, like with all of the teaching, performing and things like that, there's a point when you have to realize that there's so many things that you want to do and there's so many things you can do, but like you just have to, you also take some time for yourself and, you know, not get too overwhelmed by it all, because it's far more fun to kind of, you know, to have a few things on the go which you're giving your everything to than to have lots of different things you're doing at once and then just feel like you're constantly apologizing for it going wrong. So right now I've made the conscious decision to just, you know, I'll do some music stuff for videos I'm making and things like that, or if someone else asks me, but not something with a regular commitment. It's too much right now.
Yes, I understand. And then where can our audience find you and learn more about you?
I mean, I'm on all of, well, not all of, but most of the different social medias out there. So, you know, it's just a case of, I'm sure you'll share them in your liner notes.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's lots of videos and nonsense and personal stuff too. Why not? But yeah, I'm not, definitely not one of the people online who shares every micro detail of my life, but I do try to share some of the more interesting or fun stuff that's going on. And so yeah, do check it out, and I also list all the shows and stuff that I'm running at the time as well, so please do check that out.
Yeah, for sure. And I just want to thank you so very much, Stephen. It's been such a pleasure to have you as a special guest on our show today. And
a pleasure being a guest. Thank you, Camille.
You're welcome. Okay, bye for now. Thank you again.
No problem. Thanks. Okay, bye.
You're welcome. Bye. Okay, that was wonderful, Stephen Morgan. And I am just thrilled that he stopped by the show today. I really want to let all of our creatives hear about one another, share about one another, and to realize that their talents are shared around the globe. As you can see, or as you can hear, Stephen is British. And he moves around, so he's in the Netherlands now. I just want our audience to also know that, you know, when a lot of us get frustrated or don't know what to do with ourselves, we can always do something creative to relieve our stress and make it fun. So you can do comedy, as our wonderful guest does. Music, you can write music, you can be a great storyteller, you can do acting, yes, but there's just so much out there, and I thought it was so important to have Stephen on so you could hear just how diverse he is in his abilities. So I do hope that you learned a little bit about how to improv, okay? And if you don't know what that is, just feel free to look it up. What does improv mean in theater or in acting, okay? So thank you again so very much for being an awesome audience. I have the links to Stephen's social media feeds, okay? And please check him out and give him support. All right. Thank you all so much for being on coffee, for listening to, Coffee Chat with Camille Show. Bye for now.